The word today is acceptance. Welcome to The Word Today with Pastor and Bible Teacher Douglas Schrader. Since Jesus represents the love of God, we might think that He would accept everyone. However, the gospel accounts make it clear that Jesus rejected many people who refused to repent. Jesus did not show a worldly love that overlooks sin, but rather a godly love that requires a person to repent of their sin. Here to discuss this topic further is Bible teacher Douglas Schrader on The Word Today, Acceptance.
When people think of Jesus, they think of His loving kindness, His wisdom, His acceptance of sinners, and sometimes it's hard to imagine anybody would want to kill Jesus. Who would want to put Him on a cross and kill Him, and why would they do that? And we're going to spend some time thinking about the reasons why people would want Jesus dead. One of the chief reasons why the individuals that hated Jesus so much wanted Him dead was because He so openly showed the difference between the humble sinners who were repentant and the very self-righteous, proud individuals who didn't want to repent. One of the misconceptions in regards to Jesus is that He had this kind of like soft, open fuzziness that He would accept anybody and everybody, and He was so loving and kind that He didn't make a big fuss or fight anybody. That's completely mistaken. You can tell that if someone is trying to present Jesus as though He's a teddy bear and soft and cuddly and never really resisting anyone, you can tell they don't have a clue who Jesus is. They have no understanding of how He is presented in the Gospels. I suggest that a person with that perspective get their eyes and mind open and go to the Bible and read one of the Gospel accounts of Jesus, because if that's what you're thinking, you are so far off base, it's not funny. Jesus did not simply accept everybody and anything they did. It's one of the biggest mistakes in terms of thinking about the person of Jesus to think that He was a universalist. This is one of these arguments that is laughable, is the idea that Jesus would have been fine with any religiosity, any spirituality that a person would like to practice. Jesus represents that kind of openness, that kind of love. Well, that's nonsense. Love doesn't accept anything and everything. Love doesn't tolerate error and disease and sin and things like this. Love fights against such things. Love seeks a healing. Love seeks solutions. Love seeks truth. In 1 Corinthians 13, it does not delight with error, but it rejoices in the truth. As we think about these individuals that hated Jesus so much, one of the reasons why they didn't like Jesus, and this was particularly the chief priests and the Pharisees, was because these individuals were very self-righteous. What does it mean to be self-righteous? It basically means you think you're a really good person. It means that you figure that you are deserved God's gifts and blessings, that you've done enough good, or you are a good enough person, that you deserve heaven. You deserve the forgiveness you've been given. After all, you seem to want to earn it. That's the kind of mentality of a self-righteous person. oftentimes, almost universally, that individual has a very harsh attitude and a condemning attitude toward others who are not seen as righteous. And here is the reason why these individuals hated Jesus, is because he pointed out their hypocrisy. He pointed out their arrogance. And he not only did so privately, but he did so publicly. And that pricked their pride and got them enraged. One of the interesting things about Jesus is that he freely admits this. He openly discussed the fact in Matthew chapter 10 that he did not come to bring peace, but brought a sword. And that didn't mean violence. What it meant was division. He talks about families being divided, parents being divided against their children, all on account of him. Jesus is trying to teach us that sinful human pride is not acceptable. We sinful humans tend to think that God is going to reward us according to what we earn from him. There's a great parable in Matthew chapter 20 called the parable of the workers in the vineyard. And this owner of the vineyard goes out, I believe it's five times in one day at various stages of the day, and hires men that are standing there looking for employment. And some of the men work the entire day. Other men only work about the last hour. And when it comes time to be paid, the generosity of the owner of the vineyard is such that he pays all the men the same. The men at the beginning start grumbling and complaining because they feel it's unfair. They figured when they started seeing the last ones paid, that they were paid a full day's wage for an hour, they figured they were going to get a whole lot more. Instead, they were given the same amount, and they complain and grumble against the vineyard owner. And his response is, "Friend, I'm not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I'm generous?" And at the conclusion of that parable, Jesus says, "So the last will be first, and the first will be last." That's not the only time Jesus says this. What we see in that parable is that sinful reaction coming back, this idea that, you know, I deserve more from God. And in a spiritual sense, people that fancy themselves to be moral and spiritual and pretty good people start to get this sinful impulse that they deserve God's forgiveness. They deserve to be citizens of heaven. And when God offers his forgiveness of Jesus Christ to someone who has largely lived a life of sin, we get envious. We get upset. They don't deserve it. We deserve it. It's a very sinful impulse. And God, in his generosity, can call anyone at any time in forgiveness in Jesus Christ. He can offer his mercy and Christ's merits that he won for us on the cross to anyone at any point. Just like a person who came into the vineyard at the last hour could get the same pay, the same reward as a person who started at the beginning of the day. Oftentimes we look at this backwards and we don't appreciate the heavenly perspective on this. Instead of a person who lived an entire life in sin and sad worldliness, missing the kingdom and ending up in hell, they're one for eternity. They're at the last minute caught by the net of salvation and brought to eternal life. That's some reason to praise God instead of to get upset because God would include them in eternal life. You see how it's so backwards from the typical proud and arrogant human mindset. So Jesus was calling out the Pharisees and the teachers of the law on their pride. They had these public displays of righteousness. They had their hand washings, and they had their diet and their prayer rituals and their clothing that they wore, and all of these were supposed to show how good and pious they were. And at the same time, they looked with disdain on the sinners, as they called them, the people that were living imperfect lives. Jesus welcomed those people. Now, remember, Jesus did not accept their sin. After all, he would go to the cross to die for sinners. But instead of showing disdain and contempt, he showed them love, and he was willing to receive them and work with them. And that's the big difference. The Pharisees, the people that were self-righteous, would not accept the sinners, and they hated Jesus because he was showing how hollow, how arrogant, how self-righteous they were. That's why in the end they put Jesus on the cross. And I want you to think for a moment and to do a little bit of analysis of yourself here. Is it possible that you find yourself proud of your righteousness? Is it possible that you have a lot of contempt for people that you think are worse than you? Maybe you need to stop and think about your own sinfulness. Perhaps your pride is getting in the way. Maybe you're committing the sin of the Pharisees, where you think you're just better than the others. It's time, perhaps, for you to stop and to consider your own sin, the fact that Christ had to die for you so that you would be forgiven. Maybe it's time for you to not judge harshly other people, but instead spend a little time focusing on your own life, recognizing your own sin and the need for you to repent of your sins.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.